This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 34 degrees right now at O'Hare, a high today of 35. And just a few days from now, Monday, we're looking at a high of 60. The five-day forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we are headed higher. The Dow up 0.5% or 130 points. We're at 25,331. NASDAQ gaining 27 and the S&P up 15. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 0.2%. Americans remain upbeat and they don't see any inflation genies haunting them. That is the takeaway from the preliminary University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey for this month. Sentiment is at the second highest level since 2004. Home builders are busy. Housing starts soared almost 10% last month over December's numbers. A reading that measures future activity. Building permits also rose sharply, up 7.4%. And we are watching stock in Alcoa, shares of the giant aluminum producer spiking 3% higher. After a Bloomberg report, the Commerce Department will recommend to the president slapping a 7.7% tariff on imported aluminum, and for Chinese and Russian aluminum specifically, a more than 35% import duty. Also, Century Aluminum sharply higher, up about 7%. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the markets are higher. So is inflation in the United States. We'll be talking about that, among other things, coming up.
Entrepreneur Friday, we will talk with a Chicago reporter who has a really neat idea for actually helping women with their hair in their homes. They don't even have to go out. Also, President's Day is Monday. We look forward to seeing you if you're heading to the Chicago Auto Show, because we'll be broadcasting the show from the Auto Show. And also, if you're looking to buy a new car, well, this may be a great weekend to do that. We'll talk about that. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, we're going to be looking in a moment at the report that finds the Cook County tax system is stacked against the little guy. But first, let's talk about today's markets. They are positive, in positive territory, and it's almost a surge in some cases. And another big day for data. Joel Neroff is president of Neroff Economic Advisors, based in Holland, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the program, Joel. Seems as if investors aren't quite sure what they think about inflation. There's either a sell-off or there's a surge.
Well, I think they really should start thinking about it a lot more seriously. We had the initial fear of inflation that seems to have faded, you know, quite rapidly. You know, we had the one-week wonder, which was the large, you know, collapse in prices. But the numbers that we're getting, you know, is telling me that inflation is here. I mean, we're not talking about high inflation, but we're talking about inflation at or above the Fed's 2% target. Today's import price increase really indicates that inflation is coming from, you know, all areas, not just in the U.S., but from goods coming into the U.S.
Well, let's talk about practically what that means for consumers and investors.
Well, I think the concern is that we've been living in an environment of extraordinarily low interest rates, and the Federal Reserve has been wanting to raise rates, and the markets have kept rates very, very low. With inflation, the Fed's going to raise rates more, and the markets are already increasing rates. And for the average individual, that means if they're if they've got a loan that is set and it's related to something variable, they're going to see their loan rates go up. Car rates may go up. Mortgage rates may go up. If they've got loans on credit cards, that could go up. Home equity line rates will go up. You'll see a whole variety of interest rates rise. On the other side of that, as far as investors are concerned, they don't like higher rates because it tends to slow down economic activity. If mortgage rates go up, are we going to be able to have the kinds of increases in housing starts we saw? So there's a lot of factors that have to be kept in mind. If inflation goes up, we're going to get back to more normal rates, which is above where we are right now.
And so that, as you're mentioning, sort of broadly in the economy is a challenge. However, if you're a bank or some other institution that's reliant on interest rates and has been dealing with the low rates for a while, this might be something that you welcome.
Oh, absolutely. The financial sector loves rising rates if they can get higher returns. What generally happens is that banks will rapidly increase their loan rates, but only slowly increase their deposit rates. So their spread, the amount they make on those loans, really goes up. So they like rising rate environments, and that hopefully for them will give them a wider margin and make them more profitable. So those are the kinds of businesses that, you know, appreciate the higher rates.
Always great analysis. Thank you, Joel. Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economic Advisors, based in Holland, Pennsylvania. Coming up, the effects of a report on how the Cook County property tax system treats the rich differently from the poor. Could there be changes?
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller has indicted 13 Russian nationals for election meddling. Details on all of that coming up from CBS News in a special report at 12:31. This week's report on how the Cook County property tax system favors the rich is sure to have implications in politics and business. Let's get more details and analysis with Greg Hines, columnist with Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, before we look into what may happen because of this, bring us up to date on the nuts and bolts of what this report said.
Well, the property tax is about as hated as any levy that ever existed. Nobody likes it, in part because we all conclude that somehow somebody's getting a better deal than we are and we're getting screwed. Well, that's pretty much what this report says. After the Tribune reported a few months ago that that the system was stacked in favor of rich people, essentially higher-priced properties, and against lower-priced properties, and essentially in favor of rich whites and against low-income minorities. Tony Preckwinkle, the president of the county board, and Joe Berrios, the county assessor, agreed to hire an outside firm to take a look. So they brought in an outside consultant, and the consultant came in this week and said, the Tribune's right. The system doesn't work the way it's supposed to. It's very regressive, meaning that it's designed in such a way that that low-income properties get hit with a higher tax assessment than they should, and higher valued properties get hit with a lower bill than an assessment than they should have. Even worse than that, it says the appeal system that we have set up to try to make this better actually makes it worse. Perhaps because it's the well-connected rich folks who have access to the lawyers and could take the trouble to appeal that is not available to the low-income people.
Now, when we talk about property taxes here, because of the way the levy system works, we're not necessarily talking about the amount of money that the government takes in. We're just talking about who's paying it.
Correct. What the assessment does is essentially divide up the tax pie. It's the government to decide how much they want, the school district says they want X, the participants says they want Y, and so forth. And they add it all up, and then they divide it up amongst the property owners based on the value of their property. And that's where this comes in to play, because if your property has a value for tax purposes higher than it ought to be, your share of that bill is going to be higher than it ought to be. And if the rich guy down the block who's got the big mansion, if he's not getting assessed as much as he should, guess what? His property tax bill is a little lower than it ought to be, and your other people like you are picking it up.
So if county leaders agree this has been happening and the investigation shows that, what can you do about it?
That's a 50-cent question here. Joe Berrios insisted that even though he's been the assessor for 7 years, and before that was on the board of review, which holds appeals of property tax cases, that he hasn't had enough time to fix the system. He says he's trying, he's working on it night and day, and he's going to leave no stone unturned, but They need more time. There are bits and pieces. One bit and pieces is the model that various uses is going to be changed a little bit. They say they're going to hire some more people. But ultimately, what this group seems to be suggesting, the consultant that came up with these conclusions, is that the whole system needs to be rethought. And we need to move toward a system where the base assessment from the assessor is right. So nobody would have an appeal. Nobody would need an appeal. We have to get it right the first time. That's going to take some work. And if we get that done, then we have to talk about the rest of the property, which is commercial property, factories and office towers and whatever. This group didn't look at that. Barry says he's going to take a look at that. Now my suspicion is they're going to find the same thing, that the variance off of what it ought to be is much larger than it is.
Well, this really plays into the political year because one of the themes for the upcoming elections is class. One of the candidates, Daniel Biss, describes himself as a middle-class guy in his advertising. Governor Rauner, reacting to this story, says it's hurting the middle class and low-income people.
Oh, absolutely. Property taxes and the property tax system have become a central core issue in the race for governor, in part because Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the House, who's the governor's blood enemy, makes his living on the sides working as a property tax appeals lawyer. And his good buddy is Joe Berrios, the Cook County assessor, whose organization has thrown the support to J.B. Pritzker for governor, who's, at this point anyhow, the governor's main rival. So the governor says this is all crooked. This is proof of it. The other side is going to say, no, it's not crooked. It's just broken, but it ain't pretty. And somebody's going to have to do a lot of fast pedaling before the election.
Greg Hines, always great analysis. We appreciate you being with us. Greg Hines is a columnist with Crane's Chicago Business. Still ahead, what's moving Wall Street, the recovery of Bitcoin. Entrepreneur Friday also still to come, a specialty mobile hair service for a special clientele. And I should add, Andy Shaw with the Better Government Association is going to join us for follow-up Friday. Coming up right about a half an hour from now, he'll also offer some insight into the Cook County property tax story.
WVBM News Time at 12:25. And let's take a look at the markets sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, not quite the robust gains we saw earlier in the session. The Dow is still higher by 72 points or 0.25%, 25,274. NASDAQ up 9 and the S&P up 10 points or 0.33%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 0.33%. It is possible that we're seeing these gains being paired as investors are watching news breaking out of Washington. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein going to have a news conference here. It appears that Special Counsel Robert Mueller is going to be bringing charges in the perhaps Russian meddling in the election. So I don't know if that's what's going on, but certainly when that news broke, we saw a dip here in the market. We had much bigger gains earlier in the session. We also do have a check of the grains markets. For that, we turn to Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets have been mixed most of the day. We did see a sale of 116,000 tons of corn to Japan and 28,000 tons of bean oil to South Korea. The main focus continues to be the South American weather forecast. There will be no day trade activity in the grains on Monday due to President's Day holiday. Corn's down 0.25% to up 0.5%, beans 1 to 1.5% lower, and the wheat market 4 to 4.5 cents lower. This is Kirk Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
The Justice Department says a grand jury has charged 13 Russian nationals with interfering in the 2016 election. CBS News is next.
It's an update, and now it's mixed as well on Wall Street. We'll take a look at what's driving the markets.
How hair anxiety turned into a business serving a specialized clientele. It's Entrepreneur Friday.
A look at what car dealers are doing to draw buyers on the President's Day weekend.
And people are lining up hours ahead of time to pay last respects to Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer.
Wall Street, the Dow up 90 or 30. 39 right now. The NASDAQ down 12. S&P 500 up by 2.
Seeing sunshine in Chicagoland right now, 34 degrees.
CBS News special report. 13 Russian nationals, 3 Russian companies have been indicted by special counsel Robert Mueller alleging interference in the 2016 election. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is just beginning a briefing right now in Washington. CBS's Jeff Pagaz.
The indictment alleges that through this internet research agency, there was this organized campaign to manipulate social media, setting up, for example, through Facebook or through Twitter, fake protest to sow discord in the U.S. election.
The indictment says the defendants staged political rallies and bought campaign advertising while claiming to be grassroots groups in this country. This indictment also says the defendants' operations called for supporting Donald Trump and disparaging Hillary Clinton. Special counsel says the defendants communicated with a U.S. group and were told to focus on purple states, including Florida, Virginia, and Colorado. CBS News Special Report. I'm Dave Barrett.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank and also sponsored by Baird.
And our next guest is Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Brian, we had a pretty big movement this morning upwards on Wall Street. Now it's mixed and flatter. Does this have something to do with the news about Russia or perhaps about inflation?
Maybe a little bit of both. I think part of the sell-off this afternoon might be also is that we've had 6 days of increases in the S&P 500, and it's the best week you've had in 6 years. So two-thirds of that sell-off has come back from, I'm making sell-off in air quotes, the sell-off. So we got some of that back. So some of the momentum might be coming out of the market for, first, we might be tired. Second of all, it's a three-day weekend. Volume is down. Volume is 14% below the 30-day average for this time of day on the S&P 500. So there's a little less activity. And it's also the Lunar New Year over in Asia. It's the year of the dog in China. So in China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, some of the Pacific nations are going to be out for a new year. So that's going to just take some of the gas out of the market because there's fewer attendees.
All right. So after things settle down a bit, where do you expect the market to go?
So I think there's two schools of thought. First is, wow, that was a sell-off. I'm glad it's over. Let's get back to the rally. And the second is, hey, no, wait a minute. Everything's changed. So I think both points are valid. I think most importantly, we're going to keep an eye on interest rates. That's something we've talked about on the show before. It might be an era where rates are rising. Maybe there's inflation. Some of the economic statistics are supportive of maybe inflation is coming back in the market, which would be good. The Federal Reserve has been trying for 10 years to cause inflation, so it might actually be coming our way, which, it's going to be Goldilocks. A little bit's okay, but not too much. So that's a very difficult job for the Fed to try and engineer a little bit of inflation. So the 10-year Treasury note is at about a 280, which is as high as it's been since probably 2014. You have to go to 2013, but that's still really effectively a very, very low rate. So I don't believe some of the turmoil, I don't believe all the turmoil is caused by higher rates because everybody knows it's happening. It might just be the market is normalizing more towards facts, statistics, and actual business outlooks.
Is a little bit of inflation could also get out of hand, though, couldn't it?
Well, that's just right, Chris. So there's the dangers, with a zero interest rate policy, which has never been tried before. We've had 10 years of really, really low interest rates. The Fed is trying to exit really, really low interest rates. So that has its own perils. But that's the Fed's job, is to cause inflation or to manage inflation and growth and full employment. So they're aiming for 2% inflation. Can they hit the target is a really, really good question. Markets tend to overcorrect, so the Fed's got their hands full trying to have just enough inflation. And if the economy does heat up, then they're going to have to raise rates even more.
Brian, I want to talk to you about a couple of specific stocks today. First one is Shake Shack. It's down a little more than 7% today. Kind of a cautious note from the company. Is Wall Street worrying about this?
Yeah, so Shake Shack was a darling. You know, they came at $40 a share in February of 2015. And it quickly, within 3 months, by May of 2015, it was at $92 a share. And it's sold off since then. So it's sort of, most recently, as you said, Cisco, they're down 7% today because there was an expectation that they could produce $457 million of revenue and by the street. And Shake Shack said, well, maybe we'll do $448 million. So they're they're missing on the outlook. So that's not great. Last year they did $350 million, so they think they're going to increase sales $100 million a year. So about a 30% increase in sales. That's a big number, but Shake Shack has disappointed on an ongoing basis. They're not hitting the numbers they thought. The stock keeps selling off. They're trying to add 30 stores a year. And what's most disappointing is companies tend to overestimate their earnings. And when they say they're not going to make it, that's a real disappointment. And it's a real kind of a vote of no confidence in the street that maybe they don't have it together, because the chain has also started at Shake Shack. And they've made their name on burgers and shakes, but they're adding chicken club sandwiches and trying to expand their menu to try and be a bigger player. The story's not over yet. But today is definitely a setback for their growth prospects.
And quickly, Brian, before we let you go, just general thoughts on Chipotle. Stock is up another 5% today after they announced a new CEO earlier in the week.
That's always good, you know, to have a change in management and the time the market votes a yes. So a name that we're all familiar with. They've had their challenges in the market, but new management is always a good start, and we'll see if the rally holds. It's always good for fast food and convenience food to do better as people have more income. So as the economy does better, as people get more money from their tax cut, that bodes well for fast food. So Chipotle is going to benefit from that.
Brian, thanks for joining us today. Brian Battle is Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners in Chicago. Next, Entrepreneur Friday, how one woman has been turning the solution to her hair problems into a business.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It is Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour. We are joined by a familiar face and voice, WTTW reporter and former news radio reporter, now also co-founder of Blaze Dry here in Chicago, Brandis Friedman. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's good to be home and back with you guys.
Nice to hear you on the radio again. Tell us, you have a new business, Blaze Dry. What is it?
So it is a mobile blowout salon for women with textured hair, women of color, if you've got lots of curly hair. My husband and I, we got the idea because I would go to some of the bigger, more popular blowout salons. And honestly, the trick was, while they have a number of very talented stylists, I never really knew which stylist I was going to get. And the trick was always finding one who was certain to know how to style my hair, and frequently I'd end up leaving and having to fix it a little bit myself. And at first we wondered, am I the only one with this problem? And it turns out, no, I'm not. Lots of women have expressed lots of interest in it. And, you know, saying that the fact that the stylist comes to you is their favorite part.
Okay, the stylist comes to you and you have a set amount charge.
Correct. So we are charging $50, but if you sign up at blazedry.com, you can always find out about promotions, deals, specials, that kind of stuff.
So you mentioned the fact that people enjoy the fact that you come to the house. Is it that sort of convenience that's the number one thing they like, or just the fact that, well, you do a good job?
Well, I'd like to think it's both. I think our stylists are all very talented and they do a good job. But I think the convenience of it, I think that is definitely a factor, because when you think about it, you know, if you've got a lot going on, you don't have to worry about finding the time to drive to the salon. If you're going to a full service salon regularly, then you're going to end up spending some time in the salon waiting because your stylist is servicing other people at the same time. And you don't, like, if you've got children or if you need to get a little bit of work done, then you can do all of this at the house. And, you know, you don't have to worry about trading off with the spouse or the partner or a babysitter to make sure that someone's home with the kids. Because you can do all of that in your own home.
Do you see that you are building a type of a stairway here where you're going to have other sites around the city or even in Indiana?
Well, right now, we're covering the city. Like, we've had clients between Wilmette and Munster, Indiana. So Chicago is, we're all over Chicago right now. Thankfully, we've got stylists who are conveniently located all around the city, so it's not that hard. We don't always have a stylist going from the north side to the far south side to service someone. We've got people in most of our neighborhoods, so it's not that hard. But yeah, we love Chicago, and we want to branch out to other cities later on if we can.
Talk to other aspiring entrepreneurs out there, some of the fears maybe that you faced in getting this started, how you fund it, and just some overall advice.
Oh, I think, you know, some of the fears are, of course, you know, will other people receive this? Are they as excited about the prospect as we are? And I think they are. Like, we've gotten lots of feedback, and so, like, getting over that hump, I think we've done that. But as far as, like, you know, how we funded it, you know, we think we can bootstrap it for now. We've gotten lots of positive feedback, and so, like, that has kind of created the fuel. We didn't go out for investors, and we don't plan on doing that right now. And so we, you know, are kind of going lean, like part of the convenience of having stylists who come to you as opposed to investing in a bricks and mortar location, because, again, that kind of defeats the purpose of the convenience that we are providing. So we're excited.
Well, and you should be. And congratulations to you. It's interesting to see, a family with a young child and full-time jobs and an entrepreneurship. That should inspire some people who are listening to this program. Brandis, thanks for joining us.
We're doing it all over here. Thank you so much for having me. Good to talk to you guys.
You too. Brandis Friedman is co-founder of Blaze Dry here in Chicago. Up next, why President's Day may be a good time to shop for a car.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, President's Day is about presidents, but it's also about cars, traditionally. We've got the auto show here in Chicago, and that's coming up on Monday. Let's talk about what kind of deals might be available right now. We're talking with Matt Jones, consumer editor for Edmunds, based in Los Angeles. What are some opportunities we might see at the auto show, Matt?
Oh, well, you're going to see your regular selection of cars. You're going to see great opportunities for people actually to get in cars and test drive cars. I think the word is, in the automotive industry, the people who go to the Chicago Auto Show are actually the closest to buying, and it's a great opportunity to get out there and test drive cars without having to deal with any pressure to buy them. It's a great opportunity. Love the Chicago Auto Show. It's actually my favorite.
We love it, too. In fact, we're going to be there on Monday, aren't we, Cisco?
Yes, we are going to be doing the show from the auto show. So, Matt, as far as all those people who are out there who are going to be joining us on President's Day at the auto show as they're looking around, are there particular deals that you can get this time of year or around the auto show or President's Day?
Yeah, President's Day is like the first big sale of the year, so you can always expect to see something. But what we're seeing right now, especially in the Chicago area, is we're seeing really big discounts on full-size trucks like the F-150, you know, 2018 F-150. It shouldn't be too hard to get about, you know, $9,500 off. We're also seeing really big discounts on sedans. You know, the new Hyundai Sonata, you can get $5,000 off in your area. Even the smaller Chevy Cruze, which has a pretty low starting sticker price. I think it starts around $18,000. We're seeing discounts on certain models of around $6,000. So, and these are on 18. So there's a lot of good deals out there, especially in the Chicago area.
You know, one of our themes today has been inflation, which is rising. Is it possible to say that maybe this would be a better time to buy rather than waiting 6 months?
Yeah, there's a lot of indicators that that's actually the right statement and the right way to go, because most people, I think the number is like 85% of people who buy a car are using some sort of financing. And as interest rates are actually rising, even if the car price stays the same, if you pay more for interest, you're going to be paying overall more for the car purchase. So right now, while things are still low, inventory is still high, discounts are still big, fat, and juicy, this is actually a really good time to buy something.
Great insight. Matt Jones, consumer editor at Edmunds, based in Los Angeles. We'll check the markets from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Cisco, we did see the gains get paired, and in fact, the NASDAQ has slipped into the red. Right now, the Dow is higher by just 32 points, or a little more than a tenth of a percent. The benchmark's at 25,231. NASDAQ down 5, and the S&P up 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by a third of a percent. Bob Manning at Morgan Stanley warns that this sixth day of relative gains does not mean that the correction is over.
Markets don't go like that every day. And clearly what we're seeing right now is the reverse of downside volatility. The pricing continues. The repricing continues.
And the same for crude oil futures, which are at $61.60 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.